Good morning, happy Sabbath. Welcome to Central Study Hour. The Lord has shown favor with us. So we're going to praise Him. We're going to be singing. And wherever He wants us to go, we will go. We will do what He wants us to do. So like this, I just, again, want to extend a warm welcome to our friends and sisters and brothers who are joining us here as well. You don't see them, but they're right here. And as well as you, my friend, who are listening and tuning in online stream. So let's sing our first hymn, Trust and Obey, number 59. And we're going to be singing three stanzas. Let's sing it.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His word,
for choosing this song, and we will absolutely invite you guys to continue going to our main website and make sure you go to and click there to request a hymn. It's always good to keep learning and singing new hymns, and we love to hear from wherever you are watching and tuning in as well, so make sure you go there. For our next hymn is going to be 499, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. There's no other better friend than Him, and we're going to be singing all verses, so let's sing.
Jesus. despise, forsake thee. Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there.
Amen. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we take it to you. You are our refuge. You are our true friend. You are so faithful, so gracious to us that there's no other place that we can go. Please be with us. Be with our speaker who is going to be sharing the word for a Sabbath school lesson. And be with everyone who is joining us here as well. Touch their hearts like you best do. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Our lesson today is God is Faithful, number 12, and is by Brad Stevens. Have a blessed Sabbath morning.
Hello and happy Sabbath to everybody. We would like to thank everybody for being here and joining us today for Central Study Hour at beautiful Sacramento Central Seventh-day Adventist Church. Today we are going to be continuing and almost finishing up our lesson, Lessons in Faith from the Book of Joshua. Today we are on lesson number 12. And the title of lesson number 12 is wonderful. It is, God is Faithful. Can we get an amen to that? Amen. God is faithful. Like we normally do here at Sacramento Central Seventh-day Adventist Church, we're here at Central Study Hour. If you are watching or listening and you would like a free CD or DVD of this lesson, if you found something incredibly interesting, if you have this message that you would like to share with somebody else, please reach out to us. We'd love to be able to send you a free CD or DVD. You can give us a call at 916-457-6511, or you can email us if that's easier. Feel free to email at csh@saccentral.org. Please give us your information. We need your mailing address, we need your name, and exactly what lesson you would like us to send to you. So today's offer is offer number C202551. So if you would like that, please reach out to us. We'd love to be able to send you a free CD or DVD of this lesson. So we'll get into it today. I don't know about any of you, but usually by the end of the quarterly, my Sabbath school lesson has a hard time staying together. So I think we're staying together by one thread here. But we'll go ahead and enter into lesson number 12. And it is, God is faithful. And I think we all know that God is faithful, but I think it's something that we still struggle with at times, right? Especially when we're going through issues and difficulties. We know God's faithful, but where are you, God, at the same time? So today we're gonna touch on a couple of things that happened to the Israelites and to Joshua. And we'll be going over, and we're getting towards the end of the book of Joshua. Today we are going to be covering basically chapter number 23 in the book of Joshua. Our memory text for this week is Joshua 21, verse 45. And it says this, and it's a wonderful verse. It says, not one word of all the good promises that the Lord had made to the house of Israel had failed. All came to pass. Every single word, all of the promises that God had given to his people had come to pass. None of it had failed. And that's just wonderful, all right? We serve a mighty God, and that's something incredible, that everything came true. Everything came to pass. Towards the end here of the book of Joshua, they're in the promised land. They're divided up into their own areas. They've got their families, and they have the Lord, and they're looking back at the Lord in the chapters we're going to be covering, and they're looking back and seeing what had happened, all that the Lord had done for them. In the lesson, there's a quote from one of our past presidents, JFK, and he addressed the nation at his inauguration in 1961, and he says the following. The quote is right out of your lesson for the Sabbath day. It says, with a good conscience, our only sure reward, with history the final judge of our deeds, let us go forth and lead the land we love, asking his blessing and his help, but knowing that here on earth, God's work must truly be our own. And that's coming from a president. That's not coming from a pastor or somebody that's speaking to a church. That is somebody who is addressing a whole nation. And we see what he has put forth as important, that God's work must be our own. But he also mentions a couple of interesting things. It says that our legacies basically are written by history. That history, looking back, will show what we've done. And after we have lived, after our lives, we can finally kind of judge history on what we've done. The things we've done, the good things, the bad things, the history will be complete when we cease to exist, when our lives are ended. So history is not written about the good intentions that we had. History is not written about the desires that we had and never completed. History is written off of what we have done. So this president is calling his people to stand up and help lead the country. That's what Joshua is going to be doing in his final speech. He's going to be leading his people, and he's giving this same speech, like, okay, the land is yours. God has given you everything, all of the promises. Now it's your turn to help and lead this country. God is not, he is and he's not. He's going to kind of take a step back, but he's always going to be there with his people, and he's going to let his people now reside in this land. He's not going to be fighting necessarily all the wars that he's fought in the past and the battles. He's still going to be there with help, but he's kind of taking a step back. And Joshua wants to explain to the people that now it's our time. Now it's our time to take care of it. And to lead the country, it says here, just like JFK mentioned, God's work must truly be our own. So it's kind of interesting. And it's true. God's work needs to be our own, right? It needs to be part of our lives and what we have and what we are doing. So basically in Joshua chapter 23, that's what we're going to be going over. We're going to be going over that speech that Joshua is giving to the people and what he's sharing with them on what they need to do, because his lifetime is kind of coming to a close. He's realizing that, and he's giving out kind of orders to the family. I remember when my grandma was sick and with cancer, and she grabbed all the family together, and she kind of laid out what we all needed to do. You need to continue to love one another and to get together, and she brought everybody together and had that speech. So this is Joshua getting together with all of the leaders. And chapter 23 focuses mainly on how God's people need to worship him moving forward, which is really good advice. They need that. One thing that we've understood about the Israel, the people of Israel at that time, is they need a lot of guidance, kind of like us today. We need some guidance. We need our rules. So Joshua is going to be going forward and sharing that. So we're going to be reviewing his speech and what God has done in the past, and then kind of what God expects of them and God expects of us then moving on in the future. So let's go ahead and go on and move into Sunday, and let's dive into what the title of this lesson is. And the lesson is God being faithful, right? God is faithful, and we're going to see how God has been faithful to his people, and then we can kind of reflect on our lives too and see how God has always been faithful to us. Excuse me. So the title for Sunday is All Came to Pass, right? We just read that verse. We'll read it. We'll reread it, that verse again in Joshua chapter 21, verses 43 and 45. So if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and take those out and follow along, or you can just continue with your lesson that you probably have several notes on, and we can go over those together. But the lesson has us for Sunday start off by reading Joshua chapter 21, verses 43 and 45, and it says this. So the Lord gave to Israel all the land of which he had sworn to give to their fathers, and they took possession of it and dwelt in it. Verse 44, the Lord gave them rest all around, according to all that he had sworn to their fathers. And not a man of all their enemies stood against them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. And then following up that, the lesson gives us a question. And it says, what picture does this book paint of God? So if we look back and what I see here, especially with the reading that we just had, is that the Lord gave and the Lord delivered. Kind of the basic cumbersome understanding of that. The Lord gave them everything. He gave them all the land. He helped them through it. He was there with every single battle. And the Lord delivered on what he said he was going to do many years before. None of his words failed. And that he basically did everything for these people. He did everything that he said he was going to do. He marched those people through. They are in the promised land. They're with their families. They're with their tribes. They have their leaders. They're very well organized and in a wonderful place. There's no more enemies around. There's a few stragglers here and there that they have to deal with. But for the most part, they're in a very good situation. And it, you know, to me, on that, as an outsider looking into this situation, it really didn't seem like Israel did a whole lot. God was the one that was doing everything for them. But at the same time, I think that Israel considered this a we thing, not a God thing. We did this, right? We came through. And then Joshua is having to go back and tell them, it's like, no, this is what the Lord did for you. You really didn't do much. It's like those sports fans who come to you and say, oh, we won the game last night. You're like, wait, you were playing in that game? I didn't see you on the sidelines, and I didn't see you throwing the football, but it's still considered to them a we thing. They won, so they're taking part in the victory. So that's how I kind of think of Israel at this point. They're thinking of this as a we thing. We did this. But it really was a God thing. The Lord is what provided, because he said he was going to. So the title of Sunday again is All Came to Pass. Recently, I was reading a book, right? Because we're talking about God being faithful. This whole lesson is about faith. I was reading another book that we were giving away for a while in the church, and I think we still have some copies. It's called Lessons on Faith. And in this book, it basically is describing faith and what faith is. And it basically talks about faith is relying on the Word of God to do what it says it's going to do. And it also mentions there that the Word of God is creative. The Word of God creates. When God says something, things happen. When God said in the beginning, let there be light, there was light. His spoken word creates things. When he says he's going to do something, things have been already put in place and actions have taken place, sometimes in that exact moment, because his words can create things right in an instant, or it will be creative down the line where things will be put in place. These words that he spoke and promises to the people of Israel were creative words that down the line were going to come true. So if we kind of have that basic understanding of God's word being creative, we know that everything that he says is going to happen, and we need to have faith in that. Israel did not have faith in some of the spoken words by God. They didn't have faith that that was going to create and provide them a promised land. So that's why they say that God cannot lie. Because if you say something and it creates action and it creates things, you can't lie because you can't go back on what you've already created, what you've already put into place. So God had promised them everything. And basically, we are coming over that all that came to pass. All those promises came to pass. So these verses that we just read that summarize the whole book of Joshua, we noticed God was there the whole time. He was right beside them. They went through difficulties. They still fought in battles. They still lost soldiers, but God was with them the whole time, and he did everything. He did it all. Verse 43 speaks about the allocation of land that God distributed to his people, because that was part of the promise, right? He delivered this land, and they were all going to have their section. So verse 43 talks about that, and each one got their portion of land, each one of those tribes, individual tribes, and then the nation altogether got their land as well. Verse 44 speaks to the victories that they had along the way, how God was there and God opened the doors and God provided everything that they needed. And then in verse 45, the final verse, which we've read already, was that none of those words failed. They all came to pass. So about midway through, I'd say that the second or the end of the first paragraph in your lesson says something that I wanted to highlight. It says, the Israelites must always remember that they can never claim victories over their enemies or the land as their inheritance, except through God's loyalty to his given word. Right? So the Israelites should not be taking credit for any of this. Right? It should be God that has done everything. And we need to remember that. We can't take claim for ourselves what God has done, because it is not on their strength that everything came to pass. It wasn't on their planning on who to attack and when to attack and to do all these things. It was God that was doing it the whole time. He gave all the land. He gave them up all their enemies. All that he had sworn to do, and it was all because of him. And all of this was a gift from God to his people. He wanted them to be able to have what they needed, and he finally gave them all that they needed. And for all of us, he also gave us all that we need. He gave us all that we need to have eternal life. Right? He gave all for us. But sometimes we don't see it. We don't necessarily see in our day-to-day life all that God has done. But he wants to call us to have that understanding. Joshua really wants his people to understand and look at all that has been done. So we should take the time to reflect that as well, to really look and see all that God has done and really how a lot of these things that we had nothing to do with. I recently, in the past year, really came over a big family issue, and God was great. He had promised. I knew he had promised to take care of us and be with us, and he did. And really looking back on it, I was like, I really had nothing to do with that. Right? All of my plans, all of my efforts, I don't think did anything. In the end, it was all God that did everything. Towards the bottom of your lesson, it puts down a verse from Ephesians. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, and it says this, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." Right? It's not our doing that we have the opportunity to be saved. It's what he has done. It is his gift. And it's interesting that we all have access to this gift. All of us have access, but very few, I think, in the end, if you're looking globally, are going to be able to accept this gift. Through faith is what saves us. Faith is what's going to save us. It would have been easier for Israel if they would have just had more faith, right? They struggled a lot. It would have been easier if they would have just clung to God, and we'll talk about that in one of the other lessons. It would have been easier if they just would have held on to God, held on to his promises, increased their faith. They wouldn't have had to go through so many difficulties. They wouldn't have had to go through this long time in the wilderness. They wouldn't have had to deal with these issues if they would have increased their faith. And the same thing with us. We go through so many difficult times, so much time of anguish and sadness and doubt, when all we really need to do is increase our faith and just realize that God is going to be there. But we try and maintain our control around things. We try and do all that we can. And the best thing to do, not just in certain circumstances, but all the time, is just give it to God. God, I know your promises. I know what you said you're going to do. I want to have faith in you and put all my faith and worries into those promises that you said you were going to take care of. So, Lord, it's yours. Right? By his grace, and really, none of this is by our doings. It's by his. Finally, at the very end of the lesson, it goes to a quote from Paul in 2 Timothy 2, verses 11 through 13. I'll go ahead and read that straight out of the lesson at the very bottom. It says, "The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. We are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself." It was wonderful. There's a lot there in just those few verses, right? But God is so good. Even when we are faithless, when we do not believe in him, when we haven't put our faith in him, he's still faithful to us and says, I have to complete as your Lord and Savior and your God. I have to do what I promised I was going to do. Even if you're lacking faith right now, I'm still going to come through, right? It is because of him. God has promised a place for us. That will come to pass. He promised a place for Israel. We see that that already happened. God has promised to defeat our enemies. He's going to do that for us as well. Unfortunately, we will have enemies in life. People that don't want to be on the same page as us. People that don't believe what we believe. But God is going to help those come to pass, just like he did with Israel. God has promised at 1:2, if we continue to be faithful, and when he comes back, he promised a world where there's going to be no more pain and no more suffering. That also will come to pass. Even if sometimes we are doubtful of that, it's still going to happen. So Joshua wants the people to see that everything that God promised had come to pass. Everything that he said he was going to do, he has done. Let's move on into Monday. Right away. So God has done everything. Joshua has presented everything to the people. Look at all that God has done. He's done so many wonderful things. And now we get into the next lesson with Monday, is there's a sign of concern. So what is this concern that Joshua has for these people? And the second sentence in Monday's lesson says this: "Success is never to be taken for granted. It is always linked to obedience to God's will." Interesting statement there, right? Everything is based on our obedience. Is not based on, it's linked to our obedience. Right? And praise the Lord that we can attest to this statement. I know that in my life, if I look at the time divided with the time when I was with God and the time when I was without God, I can link all of my success in life to coming to the Lord. I wasn't doing anything before the Lord. And then when the Lord came into my life, all of a sudden, I got promoted. I got good jobs. I was able to buy a house. And I could say that that was all of my hard work, but we all know that that's a lie. I am a hard worker. I'd like to consider myself a hard worker. I have to try a lot harder than a lot of other people that have degrees and do a lot of these things. But I came up and I was able to run very large companies without a degree, without doing all of these things. And it was only because of him. I didn't have anything to do with it. He guided the whole time. My wife likes to say that a lot of these things happened to me because she came in my life at that time too. And I tell her, yes, that's part of it as well. You are part of my success. But that was just part of the success plan that God had for me. So all of the success I've had in my life has come after obedience to him, after saving the Sabbath, after starting to tithe, after changing my life from being who I was before, which some of you, if you know me, it was not a very good person, to now becoming an obedient, faithful servant of the Lord. I wish I was a little bit more faithful, right? I think we can all improve on what we've done, but obeying his words have led to my success. And obeying the words of God also with Israel is going to be key for them to have success in their new endeavors and what they're doing in this land. So God got them this piece of land, and he distributed, he got rid of all the other people that were inhabiting this land for Israel. There's still a couple of little stragglers here and there around, and they're still surrounded by these other countries. It's not like God just gave them their own continent and said, there's nothing by them anymore. That didn't happen. They still had neighbors. They still had people that wanted their land back. They still had some people mingling around and living in there. And the concern of Joshua is, can these people handle this? Even though they're living in a free land, in a land that God had given to them, are they going to be able to handle moving forward? Because Joshua's leaving, and that's a concern to him. He's like, oh, you know, when you're a leader of people and you leave, you're worried about how are the people going to step up? Are they going to do it, right? So there's some concern. Is will they be able to handle it, and will they stay faithful to God? That was Joshua's main thing. Are they going to stay faithful to God? Because Joshua knows that if these people stay faithful to God, they're going to be okay. If they don't, they're not. So now let's go ahead and take a look at the speech that we've been talking about that Joshua has for his people. If you have your Bibles, open it up to Joshua chapter 23, and we'll read verses 1 through 5. So Joshua 23, starting with verse 1, says this. Now it came to pass a long time after the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their enemies round about, Joshua was old, advanced in age. And Joshua called for all Israel, for their elders, for their heads, for their judges, and for their officers, and said to them, I am old, advanced in age. You have seen all that the Lord has done these nations because of you. For the Lord your God, who has fought for you, I see I have divided to you by lot these nations that remain to be inherited for your tribes from the Jordan, with all the nations that I have cut off as far as the great sea westward. And the Lord your God will expel them from before you and drive them out of your sight, so you shall possess their land as the Lord your God has promised. So the lesson asks us, he says, well, what are the focal points of this message, of this speech? And we see there that, right, God has done everything for them. He's put everything into place. He has fought for you. He has divided up all of this land. This is the inheritance for you, taken out all the other people, and you shall possess the land. Anybody here have land? More than maybe 5-10 acres? If you have land, there are certain responsibilities that you have to have. And the question is, will Israel be able to do this? If you have land, you need to stay on your land. You need to occupy your land in some form or another. You need to mark your boundaries, right? Where are the boundaries on your land? Because when you own a piece of property, there are always people that want to come onto your property. So you need to mark your borders. It's easy when you're there. When you're not there, it's a little bit more difficult. And you need to keep others off your land, especially here if you're in California, because once you get a squatter on your land, it can be so difficult. You would think that the laws would make it easy that you say, this is my land, I own it, this person doesn't own it, they need to leave. It's not that simple, and it should be. So if you have land, you really need to make it your responsibility, if you want to keep your land, to keep others off of it. You need to keep other people off of it. I know circumstances. Actually, my stepbrother had a rental. It was vacant and had squatters in there. And I think it took them something like 3 months to get them off. It was ridiculous. So Israel has been giving this land, and now they need to keep this land for themselves, because there are other people that are living in the land and they need to get out, and others that are going to be coming in. So they have basically, they have a few small battles and a few things that they need to take care of. And they need to continue to rely on God for these battles and for finishing up his work. God gave them everything that they needed, but there were some finishing touches. You know, when you buy a house, you buy the house and it's yours. But usually there's a couple of things that you still need to do. There's a couple of things you need to paint or replace a door or do a couple of different things. And this is their work, right? Israel still has some work to do. And in the lesson, because of time, in the lesson there's another set of questions here, but I want to go right towards the very end, the last paragraph of the lesson on Monday. It says, and I'll read it straight out of the lesson here. It says, the victories of the Israelites could not be attributed to their strength and strategy. Similarly, spiritual victory over sin and temptation have been secured through the sacrifice and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But God's people today must constantly rely on the spiritual supplies provided by the Holy Spirit in order to maintain a triumphant life. So just as the Israelites need to rely on God to continue to help them in their battles and everything that they're going to have to come up with, we need to rely on the Holy Spirit and rely on God in our life, in our battles as well. The lesson title again for Monday is A Sign of Concern. And Joshua was very concerned whether the people were going to be able to continue and if the people were going to be able to stay faithful to God. Joshua probably heard the people saying that, you know, they had won the battles, right? We talked about that before. We won the battles and they did it. And he was really worried about the people still maybe relying on themselves to go ahead and move forward, even though God had given them so many things. For us as well, we need to make sure that we're not focusing on us doing all of these things. It was God. So Joshua is leaving the people and he saw signs of concern. Jesus, when he was leaving his disciples, he saw signs of concern, right? He wasn't 100%, okay, are these guys are ready to go? I've taught them everything. But Jesus still had to do his mission. And he was a little, there was a sign of concern for the disciples afterwards as well. And we have some work to do as this partnership that we have with God, right? We have a message to spread. I wonder if God looks down on us still with some signs of concern. Just, oh man, I've given them a lot. I've brought them to me. I've given them their land and their life, and they know what to do. Are they going to do it? So there's some signs of concern still with God's people. Let's go ahead and move on into Tuesday. Tuesday, the title of Tuesday is Clear Boundaries. Clear Boundaries. I'll go ahead and read the very first paragraph that's up on top. It says this: using the same words that were addressed to him at the beginning of the book in Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, Joshua states that the task that lay ahead of Israel is not primarily military in nature. It is spiritual. It has to do with obedience to God's revealed will in the Torah or in his word. Right? So let's go back and see what those words are that the lesson mentioned in Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. It says this: only be strong and very courageous. I'll stop there real quick. Joshua uses this a lot. He uses be strong and be courageous. He mentions that several times in his writings, right? So he says, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Joshua wants the people to have God's word constantly on their mind. It's easy to stay faithful. It's easy to stay working according to God's plan when we have his word constantly on our mind. When we don't, things can be a little difficult. They can be more difficult. So the orders are there, right? And it's very important for Joshua, for his people, to stay on God's word, to not separate themselves from God's word and to keep his law. And the very first paragraph also mentions something very, very important for not only the people of Israel, but for us as well. Everything that is happening in our lives, all the battles that we fight in our lives, everything is spiritual. It's not military. It's not physical. Everything that's going on is all this spiritual battle that we find ourselves with, right? Our leaders are out there. They're spiritual battles. We have our issues. We have people do killings and assassinations, and all of this is this spiritual battle. It doesn't look like it. And if you're not paying attention and you don't know God's word, you might just think that, oh, this is just man being man, right? Sinful in nature. But this is all a spiritual battle. Everything that we're going through is a spiritual battle. So the question that comes up in the lesson, it says here, why did Joshua take such a strong position concerning Israel's relations with the surrounding nations? So we'll go ahead and read those verses. But basically, Joshua and God say, watch out for your neighbors. Watch out how close you get to them. And watch out if you try and marry, especially somebody that is not of your own religion and family. We'll get into that. So the lesson has us read in Joshua chapter 23, verses 6 through 8, and then verses 12 through 13, what they're referring to, right? He's talking about clear boundaries here. And God and Joshua want to make certain that the people understand something very important. So let's see what that is. It says, therefore, be courageous to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, lest you turn aside from it to the right or to the left, lest you go among these nations, these who remain among you. You shall not make mention of the name of their God or cause anyone to swear by it. You shall not serve them or bow down to them, but you shall hold fast to the Lord your God as you have done to this day. There's other people that are there. They've got different religions. They've got different gods. It might be a different form of worship. It might be an attractive form of worship. But right here, Joshua is saying, stay away. You can be friends with these people up to a certain point, but especially when it comes to religion, you need to stay with God and what he said. Then verses 12 and 13 say this, or else if indeed you go back and cling to the remnant of these nations, these that remain among you, and make marriages with them and go into them and they to you, know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you, but they shall be snares and traps to you, and scorns your sides and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from this good land which the Lord God has given you. He's telling them very clearly, God has given you this land, but you need to watch out. Do not get involved with these people that have other gods. Don't become part of their worship service. Right? And we have to look at these lessons for us as well. We need to be out and we need to become friends with people that have different religions and we need to talk with them. We can invite them to our church. God's saying, don't go to theirs. Stay here, right? If it's not according to my word, don't go to it. Stay here. So when you become friends with somebody, there's a relationship that gets created and you gain respect of these people and they gain yours. But when you create a relationship and you create a comfort zone, these people can have influence on your lives. Just as how we want to have influence on other people's lives. But Joshua here is pointing out to the people, saying, hey, be careful. These people have a very attractive worship service. They have very attractive gods and rituals and things that they do. But we have our own identity. We have our own word. We have our own God. Stay away. And if you go to them, that's you. If you leave me, I'm not fighting your battles. So he needs to be careful. And Joshua knows that if they become too friendly, that they are also going to start marrying with one another. And it's not, you know, these verses aren't saying anything wrong about other races or other people. It's strictly about the worship side of things. If we look at the example of Solomon, we see what has happened, right? I'll go ahead and read. It's out of your lesson. In 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 1 through 4, it says, but King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Sidonians, the Hittites, from the nation of whom the Lord said to the children of Israel, you shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn your hearts after their gods. And it says here, Solomon clung to these in love. It says in verse 3, and he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it was so when Solomon was old that his wife turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God. His heart as was the heart of his father David. So he became friends with these people. He married some of these women, and eventually the women changed his heart away from God, and he started worshiping their gods. That can possibly happen with us and with Israel if we change and go to somebody else, because love is very strong. And if you become friends, especially with a woman, and you get to know each other and you get married, then it's very hard when you are from two different religions, right? And those of you who are married, men and women, especially for the men, it's hard for us men it's hard for us to go against our women, right? It's hard to go against your wife. And for wives as well, it's hard to go against your husband, right? So it just creates this issue that God doesn't want. So Joshua is making this very clear to these people. In 2 Corinthians 6:14, it says, for us, it says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion has light with darkness? And it says, do not be unequally yoked. Basically, it's saying, don't build a relationship based on different beliefs, right? Because they're not the same. They can't be matched up the same. So we need to stay away from them. So Joshua, for his people, wanted to set clear boundaries, clear boundaries. Let's move on into Wednesday, an important one on Wednesday. The anger of the Lord. Can God get angry? He can get angry. Does he have the right to be angry? He has the right to be angry, right? So basically the lesson is stating that basically you can't love without being angry. Right? You can't be a parent without getting angry, right? We try and talk to our kids and relay what our kids could and shouldn't do, and basically for their own good, right? And if they don't obey us, we can get angry, and we have the right to get angry because we don't want them to get hurt. So there's a question here, and it says in the lesson, it says, how can we interpret the description of God's wrath? And, this question can come up. I don't know about you, but it comes up a lot with me when I'm talking to other people and sharing God with other people. They go, I can't believe a God that is, that is angry, a God that is mad, and a God that will, be a part of so much of this. But we need to understand God cannot be a God of love without also getting angry when he sees what's going on, and he sees all of his people that he loves getting hurt. So the verse that the lesson asks us about to kind of understand God's wrath, it brings us to Joshua chapter 23, verses 15 and 16. It says, therefore it shall come to pass that as all good things have come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so the Lord will bring upon all harmful things until he has destroyed them from this good land from which the Lord your God has given you. When you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods and bowed down to them, then the anger of the Lord will turn against you, and you shall perish quickly from the good land which has been given to you. Thursday, let's go quick to Thursday so we can at least touch on it a little bit. And Thursday's lesson is cling to God. In Joshua chapter 23, verse 11, it says, therefore, take heed yourselves that you love the Lord your God. Where do we also find love the Lord your God? In his word, right? In his commandments, that the Lord wants us to love him. The Lord wants us to cling to him. And he intends that we follow the commandments, that we follow his word. He wants us, and the lesson goes into this, but we don't have too much time to get into it, is The Lord wants us to focus on having a wonderful living relationship with Him. So there are people that will have a relationship with God and they follow His law out of love after having a personal relationship. But there are those people who do not have a personal relationship with God, but they don't break any of the commandments. Right? If we really talk about just breaking the commandments, right? They put the law up in their lives and they pay more attention to the things that they shouldn't do and they don't do those things, but they don't do the one thing that is the most important. And the one thing that is the most important is creating a loving relationship with God. When we have a wonderful, loving, back and forth relationship with God, things are very good and it's easy to obey. It's easy to be in communication. It's easy to have Him help us and fight our battles. But if we don't have that intimate relationship with Him, it's tough. So Joshua wants his people to cling to the Lord, to hold on to Him, to hold on to His word. And that's what we should all continue to do today. So next week's lesson, chapter 13, our last lesson is titled, Choose This Day. And we'll go over that. We would love to have you next week with us here at Sac Central at Central Study Hour. So thank you so much for being with us today. If you would like a free CD or DVD of this message that we have today, you can go ahead and reach out to our office and give us the offer number, and we would love to send you a copy. You can either call us at 916-457-6511 or email us at csh@saccentral.org. Give us your information, and we can send you a free CD or DVD of this lesson, either for yourself or to share with somebody else. And thank you so much for being here with us at Central Study Hour.